With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everybody. This is Geraldo Rivera reporting Roadkill, my political podcast, The View of a Moderate from the Middle of the Road. The view from the 18th floor of the Peninsula Hotel in New York City, from where I broadcast the program today. Usually, as you know, I am in Cleveland, Ohio. Right now in New York, my old hometown, where the people, the folks are still digesting what happened in Tuesday's big election. The Democrats got their asses kicked in the governor's race in Virginia. The Republican, Youngkin, beating Terry McAuliffe, the former governor, not the immediate past governor, but a governor back a couple of years ago. So McAuliffe lost resoundingly to Youngkin, the Republican. In New Jersey, the other governor's race was unexpectedly closer than they thought it would be. And yet the Democrat prevailed in Democrat-heavy New Jersey. Many people, I think, have been totally overstating a lot of hyperbole. Woe is Joe Biden. This is the collapse of the Democrats and so forth. I don't see it that way. I don't think it was that big a deal. The fact that there's a Republican governor in Virginia, there have been Republican governors before. The fact that there's a Republican challenged in New Jersey. There have been plenty of Republican governors in New Jersey in the past. Tom Kaine, Christy Todd Whitman, and so forth. So it would have been no surprise to me, but the Democrat won. And in terms of the various initiatives, there was not the great big tidal wave. It leaned Republican. So it's gone from leaning Democrat to now it's leaning Republican. The Republicans have some momentum, but by no means was this the route that some commentators are trying to portray it. Where we go from here, I think that Joe Biden is basically a lame duck president right now. I think he has no chance to get his agenda passed. I believe that Build Back Better, the big social welfare bill with enhanced Medicaid, pre-K, child care, family leave, $1.75 trillion, that ain't happening. Climate change is not happening. Joe Manchin is not going to go for it. He's not going to have, Joe Biden's not going to have a majority in the Senate of the United States. So don't expect it. And I think that maybe the progressive caucus that kidnapped the infrastructure bill that is truly bipartisan and that would truly help, build our bridges, build our tunnels, our highways and internet and so forth. I think that there's a reasonable chance they'll release the kidnapped infrastructure bill, and at least Joe Biden will have that to brag on. They shame on them that they tried to, a relatively small progressive caucus in the Congress of the United States tried to hijack the whole agenda, and shame on Joe Biden for indulging them. But I think that it's over. Joe Manchin is not going to go for it. You heard it here first. It might be infrastructure, maybe not, because they could be stubborn and they could be self-destructive. But it should be infrastructure. It definitely will not be reconciliation to get Build Back Better. It's not going to happen. Okay, here is the rest of Roadkill.
Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.
My plea to vote down this totally unnecessary civilian police review board fell on deaf ears. It lost by 59.4% to 40.6%. That's a substantial loss. So 60% of Cleveland decided that they wanted a powerful say in who disciplines the cops rather than, empowering the cops to try to stop this the murders that have been, wrecking the the hearts and minds of many Cleveland families, not to mention the reputation of the city nationwide. But hey, listen, I can only report, I can only give you my fair assessment. If I sound a little weird right now, it's because I am in New York, as some of you who watch Fox News know. You know, I do the program The Five several times a week, so I'm here in town. But, you know, watching this election in Cleveland and then here when I got here and just checked back to see the extent of the victory, Justin Bibbs' victory, at least Justin Bibbs' election, you know, he ran ahead of issue 24. So some people voted against issue 24 and for Justin Bibb, who had endorsed issue 24. But Justin Bibb also kicked Kevin Kelly's butt. You know, and looking at a map, it was all the neighborhoods around around mine. Lee Harvey Oswald. Lee Harvard, Mount Pleasant, Shaker Square. They all went overwhelmingly for Justin Bibb. The whole east side, if you look at the map, it's quite extraordinary. It was a trouncing. Our friend Kevin Kelly managed to win on the home bases, base around Old Brooklyn, the west side. But you really have two Clevelands, don't you? You have, you know, east-west, white-black. Sad. But, you know, one of the most distressing things to me is that it was the lowest total, according to Seth Richardson, he's a good writer at Cleveland.com, it was the lowest total turnout in the last 50 years in Cleveland. You know, as the city continues to see a massive downward trend in votes, which is kind of depressing. You know, you want a responsive government, and yet you don't have the energy to get out there and vote. It's kind of pathetic. I would love Police Chief Calvin Williams to come on the program. I know that he doesn't like to do press. And I know that in many ways, Steve Loomis, our friend, the former head of the PBA, Detective Loomis, and who I hope, Steve, if you're listening, give us a call. He's been the surrogate, really, for Calvin Williams, the police chief, in talking to us about what a cop's frame of mind is. But imagine if you're a Cleveland cop, let's say you're near retirement age or you're looking around at some of the suburban police departments. And now, in addition to the fact that you have a tough job getting paid less than most of the police departments in the area, now you have this Civilian Police Review Board, which is going to have the ultimate say in disciplinary action. You know, it's clear that in Cleveland, there is a deeply rooted distrust of police. I heard one guy, I don't know where we heard it. It was during the run-up to the election day. Maybe it was on Monday. Say that, you know, when I talk about the ghetto civil war and black-on-black crime, some guy said 90% of all murders in Cleveland are committed by cops. It is an absurd, offensive, pathetic lie. That's absolutely not true. There's, you know, you maybe a tenth of 1%. I don't know how tiny the percentage is, but that's not what plagues Cleveland. What plagues Cleveland is the fact that everybody's got a gun and all these kids are killing each other for no reason. Remember the shootout. We had the eyewitness to the shootout downtown. You know, they left the club and four people, a couple of them from Columbus, start shooting each other, wounded the NFL player who was just visiting Cleveland. And it's dangerous, it's pathetic, it's tragic, it's embarrassing. You know, everybody wonders about the Browns, 4-4. I said, forget about the Browns. What about your town? Well, anyway, I wish Justin Bibb the best. And listen, Mayor-elect Bibb, with all due respect, I would like you to come on the program. Now you're elected. Now you have, Rob, have you spoken to any of his people in wake of the election?
Hello, yes, Rob? Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
were you sleeping?
No, I was actually on the phone screening some calls. I was talking to Justin Bibbs folks yesterday and a little bit even this morning. We're trying to get him on the show either Friday, Monday at the absolute worst, but it looks like we're making some headroads here.
We got a little lag here. Why did they give you a positive indication? What did they say?
Just talking, scheduling times and, you know, situations like that, actually kind of receptive to what was going on. And truth be told, I didn't get an answer back a lot of times. So, you know, even just having contact back looks like it's working out pretty well.
All right. Well, yep. I also want to give you a heads up that we'll soon be joined by Dr. Amy Edwards of the University Hospital Rainbow Babies, because I think this is so critical. Thanksgiving is coming. If you have a chance for your kid, particularly with our audience, your grandkid, to get vaccinated before the Thanksgiving get-togethers, please do it. Please do it. Now, from age 5 to 11, and I mentioned this with Dr. Bob yesterday, please do this. Get your kid, your grandkid vaccinated. Let's put this stinking, rotten, horrible epidemic behind us. Let's get the vaccinations in the 5 to 11-year-old group. It's a much lower dose than the grown-ups get, but it's been more than 90% effective. So we're going to talk to Dr. Amy Edwards about it. But I really want to talk to you. 216-578-1100. What's your take on what happened in Cleveland on Tuesday? You know, I've been talking about nationally on the 5. I am in the minority. I'm always in the minority in Fox News, but I was in the minority as I am now in Cleveland. I'm like a man without a country. In a minority, I don't think that it was that big a rout by Republicans in the off-year elections in Virginia and New Jersey and some of the other police reform measures that passed. But I'll give you my take on what happened nationally. But the aforementioned Dr. Amy Edwards joins us, the University Hospital's Rainbow Babies eminent leader. And Dr. Edwards, I just gave a pitch for the kids' vaccine. Please, you're far more authoritative than I. Why should families get this? Should they be worried? You know, what about Thanksgiving? Give us your take. Be our guide as you have been throughout this pandemic.
Well, hi. Thanks for having me. And you gave a great pitch. And I think what I'll just say is that, you know, the perception that a lot of people have is that COVID doesn't affect children. And it's just simply not true. It wasn't true with the original variants, and it's most especially not true with the Delta variant, which is even worse than some of the original ones. And when we look at the kids who are admitted to the hospital, up to 30% of children admitted to the hospital with COVID had no underlying medical problems, meaning they were perfectly healthy, but COVID still landed them in the hospital. And so in the absence of a crystal ball to say which kids are going to have a hard time with COVID and which kids are going to sail through it, it just makes sense to vaccinate all the kids, get them some protection. That way, if they do get exposed to COVID, they'll have an easier time of it. As you mentioned, it's very effective, more than 90% effective in preventing illness. So to me, it's just a logical step to take.
So should our schools require vaccinations now that everybody has signed off on them? Do you recommend that Cleveland schools and schools in the, you know, in the immediate suburbs, that they mandate that children going to public school be vaccinated?
My guess is they won't do that until full approval comes through later in the year. It'll actually probably be a little bit next year when it moves from an EUA to full approval for kids. And then, yeah, just like any other vaccine, you know, kids are required to have the measles vaccine and the pneumonia vaccine to go to public school. My guess is as soon as the full approval comes through early next year, that most school districts will move to that eventually.
But now we're talking about Thanksgiving is imminent. Get-togethers mm-hmm. are imminent. Kids are coming from out of town to visit their grandparents here in Cleveland. It's a massive movement of America now. I understand that eventually full approval and all the rest of it. Can parents, in your opinion, Dr. Amy Edwards, in your opinion, can parents rely now on the safety and efficacy of the vaccine for children?
I will answer your question in two ways. So yes, I am a physician, but I'm also a mother of a five-year-old. And I will tell you, as a physician and as an expert, I have no concerns about the vaccine. The safety and efficacy are fantastic. And as a mother, my child is scheduled to get vaccinated next week.
So that is great. So now, where can folks listening right now, where can they go with their kids and their grandkids to get vaccinated?
There's several places. So in the UH system, and I assume also in the Metro and Akron and Cleveland Clinic systems, our pediatricians are getting shipments of the vaccines. They're coming. Some came in yesterday. The rest are coming in today. So you can call your pediatrician and sign up just as you would for the flu shot or any other shot with your pediatrician. And then UH is hosting some vaccine clinics over the next several Saturdays for all age groups, not just 5 to 11, but specifically also for 5 to 11. So you can call, you know, the UH main line and ask to be put through the vaccine scheduling. I assume, again, that Cleveland Clinic and Metro are going to be doing similar things. So if that's your medical system, you could reach out to them. And then the Department of Health will also eventually offer it too, although I don't know the timing of that.
The problem with calling those main numbers, I've tried to call the Cleveland Clinic main line to get to a certain doctor. It can be daunting, and you get held. they put you on hold, and then the computer talks to you, goes through all of the recipes. Can you show up at CVS with your kid and get this vaccine?
The Department of Health is going to be giving guidance to the pharmacies to allow them to vaccinate down to 5. I do not know the timing of that. That would be a question for ODH.
But if you have a pediatrician, as a vast majority of parents do, grandparents are their cheerleaders, then is that the best, most effective way to get your grandchild vaccinated?
I think so, and I think it's the easiest. We all have relationships with our pediatricians. My kids have a pediatrician. You just call the office and get them in line. That's what I did.
We're going on vacation with my grandkids in California. My grandkids in New York are coming to my hotel tomorrow. What should they be vaccinated before they get here? I mean, what's your advice? How urgent do you see this process right now?
Well, what we're seeing with COVID all across the country and here in Ohio is, you know, we were on this really nice downward slope for a while, and things are actually settling out. They're not continuing to decrease. They're kind of stalling out, and a lot of us are a little bit worried that it's going to kind of start to go up again. And in fact, if you look at the positivity rate amongst children, it is starting to creep up again. And so I would say the sooner the better. The more people that are vaccinated, even if it's just that first shot still provides some protection, even if it's not full protection. The more people who are vaccinated, then the fewer people who will end up in the hospital, the fewer people who will get exposed, and the faster we can get past this. So I would say go today if you can. Go tomorrow as soon as you can.
Amen to that. Dr. Amy Edwards, listen to her, ladies and gentlemen. This expert knows exactly what she's talking about. Now, what if you can't get it? What about masking at the Thanksgiving table? You know, what's your advice to the actual celebration of the big day?
So my advice really has a lot to do with personal risk and personal risk tolerance. So in my family, as you can imagine, I'm a very busy person. I don't have time to spend 10 days in quarantine. I don't have time for sick kids or sick parents or anything like that. And so even though me and my husband are vaccinated and my five-year-old is going to be vaccinated very soon, we've actually chosen that Thanksgiving is going to be just the four of us at home this year. But for people who are going to get together with their larger family, everybody who can be vaccinated should be vaccinated to protect everybody that's there. And then a lot of it depends. Do you have somebody in the family whose immune system doesn't work? Do you have somebody in the family who's very old and fragile and who the vaccine isn't going to be as effective in? And then you make decisions from there. If you do, then I would encourage masking and social distancing. And then, you know, when mealtime comes around, you need to either space it out in time, you know, eat in shifts, or distance, set up some tray tables and space it
good
around
idea.
The living room. So you can still spend time together, but just do it a little bit safer. And you really need to be cognizant.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And compassionate about the people in your family and in your life who might have medical conditions that means that they're still at risk despite the vaccine. And show your love for your family by helping take care of them and keep them safe.
What if grandpa has already had it and recovered? What if even your child has already had it and recovered? Are they relatively protected?
They're relatively protected for a couple of months. It seems that natural immunity doesn't have a robust length of life. That, I mean, robust in the sense that it seems to disappear fairly quickly. And so what we recommend is within the first week or two after recovering from illness to go ahead and still get vaccinated, because the immunity from the vaccine seems to last longer than immunity from natural infection, especially for people over the age of 65.
You're not a politician, Dr. Amy Edwards, thank goodness, from UH Rainbow Babies, but you're a sensible, responsible citizen. What do you think about, like, here in New York right now, firefighters, the cops, a lot of people objecting to mandates, they're protesting. Do you have an opinion about mandates, doctor?
I think that to me, the mandates make sense, and we make health mandates all the time. People may not realize it because they've kind of just been going on in the background, and so they don't pay attention. As we said before, you know, kids are mandated to have the measles vaccine in order to go to school, and you're mandated to get the yellow fever vaccine if you travel to certain developing countries.
Right.
There's
right.
health mandates in place. There's mandates about your water. There's mandates about the air. There's mandates about your car and safe, you know, your wearing your seatbelt, and there's all sorts of health mandates that are out there all the time that people don't really think about because they've kind of become accustomed to them. And I think the reason why people have such a hard time with this one is because of how politicized this whole thing has become.
Right.
As an infectious disease doctor and as a doctor, health mandates make sense to me. It's how we keep people safe and how we keep them alive. And so I have no problem with them. But politically, I know it's a different question, and I'm going to stay away from that because, as you said, I am not a politician.
All right. I'm not a politician, although I may play one on TV. I am all for mandates. I'm sorry to say, but as Dr. Edwards suggests, you know, we have mandates for a lot of things. We have the mandate not to go over 65 on the freeway.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
That's what government's main job is, keeping people safe. And mm-hmm. I urge you, ladies and gentlemen, heed this expert's admonitions here. Get your child, your grandchild from 5 to 11 now eligible. Is it all, or is it just Pfizer?
It's just Pfizer at this point. Moderna submitted data to the FDA about their pediatric trials, but we haven't had a ruling on that yet.
But there's plenty of Pfizer around. There's no shortage,
plenty
as far as
Pfizer
I know.
Plenty of Pfizer around. Absolutely. We have so many doses of Pfizer in this country, we could vaccinate ourselves 3 or 4 times over.
Okay. All right. Now, we don't suggest that, ladies and gentlemen, but I did get a booster. Dr. Amy Edwards, you are always a pleasure, and you are the voice of reason, and I appreciate your coming on and being a friend to the show.
Of course. Anytime. You have a great day.
Let me get a couple of calls. I got a couple of vax calls because I want to get back to politics because I haven't even started telling you what I think about the national scene and Virginia and New Jersey and so forth. But in Berea, Michael is on the line. Mike, what are you thinking about today, buddy?
How you doing, Garofalo?
I'm excellent. I'm excellent.
How you doing?
What's on your mind?
Good. Hey.
All good here. All good here.
Okay. I have my cousin. He's a Cleveland police officer for about almost going on 15 years. A lot of them, what they're going to be doing now is they're going to be getting out. They're going to be going to suburbs, getting out of Cleveland, because they don't like, they're off for what you said about that issue. They're totally against it. So that's a good thing. That's what I wanted to tell you. A lot of police officers, good cops that have been around for a long time, are looking for suburbs to get out of Cleveland and go to another suburb to be a police officer. That's that one thing I want to tell you. Second thing I want to tell you is, girl, what do we do about these scientists and doctors? And I'm not pro-vax or against vax. I believe it should be your personal choice between yourself and your doctor. No company or government should tell you what to do. I like the comment about there are mandates, but not mandates to put something in your body. There's mandates, like you said, other mandates, but not. But what about these scientists and doctors that are against, especially for children or people under the age of 21 are saying they don't need a vaccination? They're doctors or scientists. Why don't we get these people on so we get their side of the view? Because it's confusing.
All right, Michael, thank you. I let you finish there because we have this this bit of a satellite delay here. I didn't want to speak over you. But here's the deal about the mandates and why I absolutely 100%, first of all, believe in mandates. First of all, the Supreme Court has made clear that businesses, universities, and so forth have the absolute right to require you at the risk of your job or your presence at a university to get the damn vaccine. Here's the difference between mandating a vaccine and mandating other things. This is an infectious disease. That means your decision whether to get the vaccine doesn't just concern you. It concerns me, my children, my grandchildren, because if you're infectious, and you go walking around or you come in contact, you're at the store or whatever it is, you're in a restaurant, you cough, you sneeze or something like that, it is not just your issue. It is my issue too, because you don't have the constitutional right to put me and my family at risk. That's why there is the ability constitutionally, I'm telling you this as a lawyer, and I got an A in constitutional law, and I understand what the Supreme Court has said. It is absolutely constitutional for a business or any other institution to require you to be vaccinated. Are there religious exemptions and so forth? Sure, you can explore those if you're not phony about it. And it should be at cost of a perjury charge because you shouldn't lie. You can't lie about it. I tell you, I went yesterday after Fox and Friends. I'm not Fox and Friends. After The Five yesterday, I went with my pal Nora, who has represented me in terms of public relations for decades, and Leo, my lawyer, who I've known for over 50 years. We went into the Milos, this fancy Greek restaurant overlooking Hudson Yards. I'll talk about Hudson Yards in a second if you want. I mean, it's a beautiful development on the west side of Manhattan. Here we go. The owner comes up and kisses me on both cheeks, a very ebullient Greek guy. The cook, the head chef comes out. And he greets me. So we go to our great table overlooking, this wonderful scene. And they say, wait a second, Geraldo, can we see your vaccination card? So this is... Here I come. They roll out the red carpet, and the red carpet has a gate on it that says, let me see your proof of vaccination. So I got carded last night. This is, and I loved it because it shows that they are being responsible, that they're not letting the fact that this, the disease appears to be ebbing, influence the fact that they are still vigilant. Let's put this crap behind us. You have almost 750,000 Americans dead. I saw the Surgeon General. I asked Rob to find the sound. I saw him on Morning Joe this morning, the Surgeon General, I forget his name, Asian man, very, very sensible guy, Surgeon General of the United States. He's talking about his uncle in Ohio died in Ohio. He died, his uncle of the Surgeon General died of COVID. Come on. Jeremy in Medina. My last question on vaccines, then I got to move on. But Jeremy, what's on your mind, buddy?
I just wanted to, how you doing, sir? I hope all is well. I just wanted to say, I saw on CBS, I think it was like Monday or Tuesday, today's what, Thursday. So yeah, it was like Monday or Tuesday. They said 28 million, since this started, 28 million kids have been infected with 146 deaths. Absolutely not does that justify any kind of mandate or anything else like that.
Say that again, Jeremy. How many deaths?
146. And this was CBS.
146 deaths where? What?
With children. Revolving this virus and stuff. I don't know how you could mandate.
I just heard
you can look it up on CBS.
Okay, I'll look it up. I just heard Dr. Edwards say that they had several thousand just in Northeast Ohio hospitalized with the disease.
Yeah,
you know, it's for real. I don't know why. Okay, Jeremy, I get it. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of it. Get this thing behind us. Get it behind us. Aren't you sick of hearing me talk about this damn vaccine and the disease and this? Aren't you sick about what it's done to your life? How it's complicated your life? And those damn masks? Aren't you sick of those masks? And the social pressure? You go walking into a store, even if it's not required, you don't have a mask on, they start looking at you like, you're Typhoid Mary. Get it over with. Get the damn vaccine. Get it. I know, I have great friends that I really love. They're very close to me. I won't name them right now. In Cleveland. That have, they had the disease. They recovered, some faster than others, some more serious than others. And they checked their antibodies. They're like health nuts. So they check the antibodies. So they're confident that because of natural immunity that they're protected, and because of social pressure, they say, all right, I'll get the damn vaccine. I don't care if you feel that I am annoying you. I don't care, because I care more about your life, and I care about your life afflicting my life. And let's get it behind us. We're sick of it. Okay, and I'm sick about talking about it. But get the damn vaccine. And you can't come in my house. My daughter had a Halloween party. Invited her classmates. On the invitation, only vaccinated people allowed in my house. So don't come to my house if you're not vaccinated. I don't care about your natural immunities. I don't care about your antibodies. Don't come. You're not welcome. You know, I'm sick of it. And all right, now let me go back to politics. I want to go back again to where I started the program, because some of you listen, I know, driving to work, and maybe you missed the beginning of the program. So as I said in my French, I got my ass kicked in Tuesday's election in Cleveland. Even though I didn't endorse Kevin Kelly, it was clear because he was a friend of the show, and a very nice guy, and we had a relationship, that I liked Kevin Kelly, and I would have been perfectly happy if he got elected. I did not endorse him. I would not endorse him, nor did I, formally. I think I actually did on issue 24. I did say how much, and I made it very clear how much I wanted that issue defeated. You understand that? Cleveland went against the national trend in terms of supervision of cops. In Minneapolis, where George Floyd was murdered by Chauvin, the cop with the knee on the neck, and George, in the riots, and Minneapolis was turned upside down, still bears the brutal scars of the uprising, the rioting there. Defeated in Minneapolis a provision that would remake the cops and replace it with the Department of Public Safety, that reimagine, quote unquote, reimagine cops, Minneapolis defeated that. Minneapolis said, even though he is the epicenter of everything that happened, everything, Minneapolis refused to undo the cops. Cleveland, on the other hand, a city beset by chronic violence, decided that they wanted more supervision. They wanted to rein in the cops, despite the fact that we already have federal monitors and we already have oversight and we already have, you know, pretty good management with Calvin Williams, the police chief. Still, Cleveland voted overwhelmingly to impose the Civilian Police Review Board. I opposed it. I still think it's a terrible idea, but as a good citizen, I will support it. I will keep an open mind. I will try my best to be objective, and I will watch and see if, in fact, some of these horror scenarios begin playing out. If I see mass resignations of cops, mass retirement of cops, mass flight to the suburban departments by Cleveland cops, I will, right here at WTAM 1100, I'll tell you how I feel about it. But I'm willing to give Justin Bibb, who seems like a fine public servant, you know, in his other incarnations as a, you know, nonprofit executive, whatever that is, I'm willing to give this 34-year-old novice a chance. I will support him 100%. I want him to know, Justin Bibb, if you're listening, that I am with you. Let's take Cleveland forward together. We can't have a white Cleveland and a black Cleveland. What were you saying, Rob?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, that's the thing with Bibb is I like him a lot. I like the energy. I like a lot of the stances he has. 24 was really the big, big crux of why I really voted for Kevin Kelly, to be straight up about it. So, I mean, like, there is a lot of bright side. You know, this isn't the, you know, I didn't think we were picking the worst of two evils on this one. I thought both guys were qualified. Both guys were able to run the city. Both guys wanted to run the city. So, yeah, I think we'll be good.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm willing to give it a shot. So let me quickly say something about the federal, you know, you've heard them till you're sick in the, I got 1 minute left. You have the infrastructure, you know, more than $1 trillion, traditional infrastructure already has bipartisan support. And then you have this Build Back Better with the Medicaid enhancement, pre-K, childcare, family leave, and so forth. I am absolutely for the infrastructure. Joe Manchin today, no matter what you hear anyplace else, it's clear to me Joe Manchin is not going for Build Back Better. They're not going to have all this lavish social programming, however much some wanted, including Erica. But he's saying that those progressive congressmen, AOC and the others, that what they did in holding infrastructure hostage, they kidnapped the American agenda, and that's why Joe Biden got his butt kicked in Virginia. All right, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. I thought that that's so funny. I thought that yesterday was Monday. I'm all screwed up because yesterday was my first day on the five this week. So anyway, I'll see you right here tomorrow. Thank you for listening, Rob. Thank you. One last word on the federal response to the pandemic. Over $5 trillion has already been spent to fight the pandemic and the consequences of the pandemic in terms of the impact on the economy and businesses. More than $5 trillion. As Joe Manchin said today, to give you an idea of how much money that is, $5 billion, that's how much we spent on the Marshall Plan to rebuild all of Europe following World War II in today's dollars. $5 trillion. You know, enough is enough. We can fight back and try and get family leave and enhance Medicaid and pre-K and childcare and all the rest of the things that we all want. Of course you want it. You want a social safety net that takes care of everybody. But this is not real life. You also want that a loaf of bread doesn't cost you 10 bucks. So I think that there has to be prudence now. We have to take a deep breath. This was not a rout of the Democrats and Joe Biden, and this is not Republicans, a tidal wave sweeps the nation. This is a modest victory for Republicans over Democrats. There's a pendulum in American politics, swings this way, that way, and right now it's swinging in the Republicans' way, and we'll see where that goes. But we're a long way, even from the midterms, a full year from now. We watch with great interest, and get the damn vaccine for your kids and your grandkids. I'm Geraldo Rivera reporting Roadkill.
Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.